It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. He did it once for all, and he did it for anyone who will believe in his name. Anyone on this planet that he created, in any country, in any city, anywhere in the world who believes on the name of Jesus shall have that same salvation that we're promised. Give him praise, church. I know Joanne's got a couple of songs, this one and the one she's playing later to go with Palm Sunday. So would y'all get your spirit just ready to receive, because we're going to talk about Jesus today. You with Maestro?
To be thankful for, amen. There was a church in Egypt this morning where they were celebrating Palm Sunday, and a bomb went off in the church. You understand how many people are against this? There's a certain group of people who just won't accept, and not only won't accept, but they want to stop us from praising Jesus, amen. The other countries don't have the freedom that we have, and yet people aren't bothering to go to church, amen. We have such a beautiful God who is so loving and just so giving that we have people that don't understand the beautiful freedom that we have here in this country. So we'll pray for those people and those families now. But they know, they have a belief, and the faith is not in this life, the faith is in the next, amen. It doesn't take the pain away today, but understand what we face as Christians. But understand this, that our God accepts anybody. Say that with me. Anybody. Doesn't look at anything. Anybody who believes in the Son and gives faith to the Son in Jesus. And that's our God. Amen. We're not separating anybody. So that's, you know, something. Let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's our promise. Give him praise and be seated. Give God praise. Hallelujah. You're going to get the end result of a lot of work today, but Miss Marilyn's been working since Friday, making the crosses with the palms and everybody. So as you get that, understand that they just didn't happen, that she spent her time and she told Chuck to go do something else and she focused on what she... Evidently they didn't. But just understand, and you know, we got all the palms here and all the crosses. We're so we thank you, Miss Marilyn. Thank you. Hallelujah. Give her praise. Thank you. Responsive reading, Psalm number 93. Hallelujah. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved.
Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting.
Hallelujah. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods lift up their waves.
The Lord on high is mighty. The noise of the water,
than
the mighty waves of the sea.
Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. For how long?
Forever.
Praise God. God is good.
All the time.
We talk a lot. We read the Bible. We study the Bible together each Sunday. I try to bring a sermon to you that changes your life and gives you a message. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about one person. His name is Jesus. Amen. And as we talk about him, maybe that'll move you to realize what he did for us and who he is. Say that with me. Who he is, because he is. Maybe that'll draw you closer and wanting more from God. Because, listen, God never forgets your what? Your prayers. Remember we said that? So all the prayers that you have, he's never forgotten them. So here's what we start to do. And I hear a lot of prayer meetings. So here's what you start to do when you pray. Just say, thank you, Lord, for the answer. Can you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Because that's called faith. And things and evidence of things not seen. Amen. The substance of things hoped for. All the things you're praying for are the things you are what? Hoping for. Amen. And in faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's why you believe and you trust and you wait on God, see? But that's faith. So instead of praying, God heard you. He knows you need a job. He knows you want a mate. He knows you need help. He knows the things in your life. He hasn't forgotten. So start claiming them in a way, and don't claim them like, you know, like you're going to rule God, but thank him. Thanks, say, Lord, thank you for the answer to that prayer. Thank you, Lord, that I know you have the answer, so I'm going to go on to something else I can do, Lord, because you have the answer. And you start thanking him. Instead of praying all the time, it's like you wouldn't go to your father or your mother and say the same thing every day. You don't know, you start thanking, you realize that he's going to provide, amen? And the more you realize that, and if you have a little problem with that, just look back and see what he's already provided. He's got you to this day, April the 9th, 2017. Amen. A year ago, you had all these troubles and all these cares, and here you are a year later. So all the worrying that you had has got you nowhere except believing in God. Amen. So let God, can you do that? Let God fill your heart. Give him praise. And the testimony is short today because I want to get into this. But I asked somebody Tuesday night at the Bible study, which, by the way, was a lot of fun. If you've never been to the Bible study, it's a lot of fun. They talk about all sorts of, you know, they read a little Bible, they study the Bible, and they read and they come off with, hey, what about this? What do you? And I found it like was a little shot of vitamin at the end of the Bible study. I felt like that was good. I felt refreshed, you know, because Sunday to Sunday, sometimes it's just too long to not hear about God or even read the book or talk fellowship. Amen. So it's not exactly what you were talking about, but it was wonderful, or how you were talking, but the fact that everybody was together reading God's word. Amen. But I asked somebody, and the testimony is after, and I said, pray the prayer of dismissal. And they looked at me and said, I don't know. And I just said, talk to God. And what I got and what we got was the most beautiful prayer. It was short, and it was so beautiful, so full of peace. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible study. Thank you for it was so beautiful from somebody who said, oh, I don't know that I can pray. I'm telling you that you can do it. Be ready in and out of season, it said, but don't hold back. Amen? Because everybody can. If I said to you, Roger, stand up and pray, you could pray. Just talk to God. Say, Lord, thank you for my beautiful wife who came home from and had a beautiful weekend with her sister. I mean, we have everything to be thankful for, and prayer is just being thankful. Amen? And we all should be. And the testimony is it was an awesome prayer. Just always give thanks. Never be afraid. You see, that's the flesh saying, oh, now you pray. No, just say thank you. When you're at the table at the restaurant, say you pray. Just say, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, the people around me, and this food. That's the blessing, amen? But never be, and the more you do that, and the more you realize that, listen, other people are just as afraid as you are. I don't like to pray. I remember I told you that Elder Pat, when she prays, I feel the Spirit move the whole building. I wish I could do that, but that's not my calling. But everybody's nervous to pray, but the more you do it, Sergio, the easier it becomes. And not only the easier it becomes, but the more you want to. Because other people are yearning to hear the prayer. Everybody's so nervous, but one person starts praying, everybody goes, oh, good, it's not me, but let me pray. You see, so just thank Him for the answer. And the Bible says, always be ready, in and out of season, whenever and whatever. You're Christians, your family, to Him. He's not going to let you down. Amen. Let's pray together just for that testimony, that we learn to have more strength and more faith that God will lead us, even in prayer. That the simplest prayers are the most beautiful prayers. The simple prayer of thanksgiving for what we're doing, the most beautiful prayer. You don't have to pray all these things. You don't have to sound righteous. You don't have to have all this Bible knowledge, because you're talking to your Father in heaven who's listening and smiling. And as you thank Him, the angels are rejoicing. Hallelujah. You move heaven with your thank yous and your praise. The devil wants you to be afraid to even thank Him at the dinner table. See, that's how much control He has over our mind, but Jesus lives in our heart, the inner core of our being, not the organ, but the inner core of who we are, our heart. He lives there, and He yearns, the Holy Spirit yearns for you to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my friends at this table. Thank you for this room. Thank you that I live in this country where I can walk around and talk about God and wear a jersey that says Jesus. Hallelujah, and I'm free. I'm free, Lord. That was a blessing from you. Hallelujah. We got so many things to be thankful for, and a beautiful, loving God that when somebody asked you to pray, just say that. Oh, I have an awesome God who opened up somebody's heart and let me pray today. What a glorious, glorious thing. And the more you pray, then you'll look at somebody else and you'll have that spirit to say, pray for that person. Lay hands on that person. Give that person a hug and say, God loves you. That could be the thing that changes their life forever. That's the power of prayer. Never be afraid. Just talk to your Father in heaven, because it really does move other people. And you have that in you. Let God free. Let Him loose and send it out. In Jesus' name I pray you receive that. Hallelujah. Hear my prayer.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. My prayer, O Lord, incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes in your life, there's only one response to a question, action, or an attack. Sometimes you have to totally reveal who you are, because in that second, you have to stop trying to pretend, or you have to really show who you are, because you have to take control. Amen? There are special times when we truly put our feelings on the line, when we remove all the coverings, when we expose our truest strengths and weaknesses. Amen? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's our Savior. He's our salvation. Who is Jesus? He's kind. He's compassionate. And Jesus is forgiving. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. In the Bible, we see Jesus three times. Three times act or respond with authority and show a part of him that reveals who he really is. There are times, you know, Jesus says a lot of things in the Bible, but there are just a few times where he absolutely shows that he is God. Amen. Absolutely at those times. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, there were people who outside the church. Now remember, they didn't have cars back in the day, and they had to walk. Sometimes it took a week to walk. And they had to go to church, Sergio, and what they had to do is sacrifice, blood sacrifices. And they had to do it in front of the high priest, in front of God, and the high priest in the church in order to receive forgiveness. They didn't have who?
Jesus.
So they had to make this trek, and people would go to this church and these churches, and outside the church there'd be people selling doves and selling other animals, and they were selling those other animals for sacrifice offerings, for blood sacrifice. Amen. They were selling these animals in front of the church. People going, coming, you know, 100 miles, and they, oh, I got to buy the dove. Now there were other people called money changers. What happened is there was so much different kinds of currency and different kinds of values, you see. But when they got to this certain church to do, well, they said, no, we don't accept that. You have to use this kind of money. This is the coin that you have to use. And we said, well, I don't have that. He said, well, give me money and I'll exchange your money for this money. Amen. And they were called money changers. Amen. But what they would do, these people wouldn't know. The people traveling to this church wouldn't know the value, and so they had to trust these money changers. Amen. These people out there exchanging money, and so they were given the money that would be used. Oh, you know, this. And then they had other people with scales, you know, weighing the stuff, sometimes weighing money if they had some money that needed to be weighed. And they had scales, and we know about people that use scales and cheat other people. Amen. I remember a few years ago, Stu Leonard's. Anybody ever been to Stu Leonard's? I know. Remember, he spent 2 years in jail because they found out his scales were like 3 ounces off.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like two or three. Remember that, Greg? We used to play a suit.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, it sounds like, oh yeah, I just announced it. But you start talking about the volume of what went through there and how much he was making off of other, he was stealing, amen? And that's what, that would happen. You see, these people outside the church, they weren't the priest, they weren't the church, they were businessmen, amen? And Jesus is revealed here. I'm going to start. Now you'll understand. Hallelujah. The first time we see Jesus act without asking anybody. Now, and I'm going to book of John. I'll start with John. This is 2:13 if you want to read, but just listen. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Hallelujah. So the Jews answered him and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. How many days? Understand the temple and understand how many days. Now there's Jesus. He didn't ask anybody. He walked to that church and he saw people cheating. Those people who had walked miles and miles and days and weeks to get to this church, knowing that they had to buy this dove in order to receive forgiveness. And what did he do? He turned those tables. We saw Jesus right there. He revealed himself. He didn't ask anybody. He just went up, made the court, knocked the tables over, and kicked them out. Don't make this church a house of merchandise. Amen? Don't be mocking my Father. And that's one time where we see him actually act. Are you with me? Hallelujah. There were men selling doves and sacrifice. Thank you. Many money changers, we just said that. Now, that was in John. I'm going to go back to Matthew now, and I'm going to read the second time that it happens. Because it happened twice that he does this. But listen to what he says. This is Matthew 21:12, if you want to read, but it's easier to listen sometimes. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold. Even the seats of the people, when they got up, he turned them over. This is the second time he does this. And he said to them, it is written. It is what? Notice how Jesus always went right to the word. You could not. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. These people were stealing money from these, and they were cheating these people. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, who? The children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? These children saw who he was, had nothing else on their mind but to love and praise him completely. Amen. And Jesus called it perfected praise. Amen. That's the second time we see Jesus just simply act. Amen. We read all he says, and we read all the parables and all the things that he did, the Sermon on the Mount, and how wonderful he was. But that's where we see him act godly. Amen. That's where we see him take charge and authority. Amen. And then when they mocked him because the children were saying, Hosanna to the God, they were praising him as God. And the scribes and the high priests were, the Bible said, indignant. And Jesus looked at them and said, and let me read that again. That's so, and this is who we should be. I'm not saying that we should be children, but we should be childlike. He said, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Amen. A child's love. Everly will show love completely. Amen. There is no in between for Everly and the love for her mama. Amen. There's just pure love. A childlike love. And that's the way we should be with who? Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's where we see Jesus in the Bible actually becoming God in authority. Now the second time, this there's one here that I'm going to read that probably touched me more than a lot of other things. But let's get started. Let's talk about the palms. How beautiful are the palms? Amen. This is Sunday. It's called Palm Sunday. Amen. Some people say, well, where did that come from? How did that happen to be? What does it mean? Amen. A lot of people, you kind of know and you don't. So Matthew 21:8 says, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. And it says, others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus is making his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. Amen. He's been there before. But he'd been there and he walked around and he prayed with people and he taught in the synagogue. But he just walked as a man. This time, he's coming in as God. Amen. This time, he's making the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. And everybody's going to see him. Multitudes are there because they know Jesus is coming. Amen. And they're going to call him who? The Son of God. They know the Son of God, and they're going to be there and they're going to praise him. This is the second time. This is his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. And Matthew says again, a very great multitude, amen, a great multitude, spread their clothes on the road. And he said, others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. That's what we get in Matthew. Then as you went Luke, and you read what Luke says about the entrance, he says, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Okay, but where did the palms come from? Thank you, Lord. It comes from John. John says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. They spread the palms on the road as a sign of holiness, as just a praise, amen. They were lifting him up as an honor. They're spreading these things in honor of him. And John tells us that it was palms. So we call this Sunday, amen, Palm Sunday. Jesus rides in Jerusalem, this time triumphant. He's coming in not as a stranger, but he's coming in as God in front of the world, amen. Now, this is called the Passion Week. This is what we're talking about. The entrance into Jerusalem is Sunday. That's today. Amen. Tomorrow, he clears the temple. Tomorrow, he goes and he clears the temple. Tuesday, he goes to the synagogue and he goes to the churches and he's challenged by the high priest. He's challenged and confronts the Jewish leaders, and he also teaches. It says that he teaches on Tuesday. He teaches in the synagogue. So that's what he's doing. On Wednesday, this is very interesting. The Bible says nothing about what he does on Wednesday. There's no word about it. So if anybody starts to teach on whatever he did, I think myself, my opinion, it's foolish. If the Bible doesn't tell us what he did on Wednesday, I guess we don't need to know, amen? But for some reason, he doesn't. Thursday of this week is the Last Supper. That's when he has the Last Supper. Friday of this week, the cross. Sunday of this week, the resurrection. This is the Passion Week. This is what Jesus is looking ahead for. This is what he's facing. Sunday, he makes his entrance into Jerusalem. He comes in and they praise him as the Son of God. Monday, clears the temple. Tuesday, shows authority. He teaches and confronts the Jewish leaders. Amen. Again, on Wednesday, nothing. Thursday of this week, when you come to Thursday this week, understand that he's at the Last Supper. That's the night he's with him, the Last Supper. And then Friday, of course, the cross. Sunday, the resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Luke says something that touched me the first time I read it and still does today. Everybody has their places in the Bible. But this to me told me so much. This was God. This is one time, one line in all this Bible, Mary and Joseph, that he talks like God. I mean, he says something so profound in one line that it makes you just wonder. He doesn't need us. Everybody know that? God does not need us to do anything. Amen? He created us. Amen? And we love him. Amen? And we praise him and we love him. He created us for his joy and for his Father to be praised. Amen? But trust me, he does not need us. And when I'll read it, I'll start from here. Hallelujah. See where I can get to. Now he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples. Imagine this, walking down Elizabeth Street, okay? And you have people on both sides of the road cheering because Walter's walking down the middle of the road and everybody's cheering on both sides. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. What is rejoicing? It's not clapping. It's hallelujah, amen? Screaming, amen? That's what they were doing. And praise God with a loud voice. What kind of voice? Hallelujah. For all the mighty works that they had seen. And this is what they were saying. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him. Say, hey, Walter. Teacher. And they said to him, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, and this line has touched me since the first time I understood it. He answered and said, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. I don't know why nobody teaches on that. I don't know why I've never heard a lot of teaching. But understand what he said. If these people right now stop praising me, those stones over there are going to start praising me. The rocks are going to start praising him. He does not need our praise. Amen. And when he said that, that's one time, one line in the Bible where he talks like God. Amen. He was talked with so much authority that there was nothing left for them. He said, if these people stop cheering me, the rocks are going to start praising me. And to me, that just touches me so deep to the power of God. What he held inside, what he didn't show the world, he could have just stopped. Amen? And the trees would have praised him. The walls of the buildings would have praised him. Everything, the animals would have started praising him. Amen? Because he is God. Amen? And that's the second time that we see him show who he really is. Show the inner power. Show that he didn't hold back right there. And for that just absolutely touched me. I don't know if it will touch you the same way, but that's so powerful to me. Amen? Ooh. And now the third time. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to read two different parts of it. so that you can get a complete feel. The third time, in the garden. Thank you, Lord. 22:36, if you want to read, it's in Matthew. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, 26:36. The third time that we see Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is really powerful, folks. This is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Listen to what you wonder sometimes, how could God understand? How many times have we said that? I bet everybody in this world, one time or another, says, well, how does God understand? How can he understand what I'm feeling? How can he understand the pain of what I'm feeling? He's just God. How does he understand? It's right here. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Over there you'll find us not far away. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Listen, stay here and just watch with me. He went a little farther, and the Bible says he fell on his face. Anybody been in agony like that? He fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And he said, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. He fell on his face in agony to pray. He didn't stand with his arms up. He didn't kneel. He got down on his face. The pain in his fear and his heart. He is showing us Jesus. This is Jesus. Just totally who he is and who he was. The honesty of his words. Father, if you could take this from me. He's telling Dad. He said, Dad, I'm not sure I can go through with this. If you could just find somebody else, if you could do it, but your will be done, Lord, Father. And when he was talking to them, why couldn't you stay awake? There's a lot of people who want to do things for God, amen? And they're all excited in the flesh, they're really excited. But then something happens and they get tired, or some other distraction happens and they get disturbed with it and they forget to do the work with God. You see, they fall asleep. Temptation, other things in the world pull them away, amen? That's the temptation. And he's saying, could you not stay awake? Could you not watch? Are you not strong enough to pray with me, to stay with me? And they couldn't because they were tired. And he's saying, yeah, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a lot of Christians today. We're all on fire to do something for God, but when the hour comes, we're afraid because of temptation, because of fear. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Luke adds some other things. That's why it's so beautiful to read the four Gospels. The word gospel simply means good news. Amen? The four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're the Gospels. The good news about who? Say it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to say it. Say it out loud. Jesus. Hallelujah. God will fill the room if we talk about his son. I know he will. Hallelujah. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as it was a custom. And his disciples also followed him. Luke doesn't mention who they are. Doesn't have to. When he came to the place, he said to them, Jesus said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray for extra strength. Pray for that your doubt and your fear doesn't come over you. Pray. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, which means maybe from here to the green, amen? So you think about that. He's here, and he says, you stay right here now. You stay here, Walter, and I'm going to go there and pray, but stay awake. And he went about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Luke tells us that an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Picture that, if you would, for a second. An angel. The Father sent an angel down, strengthening him. Now, when I read that, you might read it different. When I read that, I can see the angel just holding him. I can see him weeping. I can see him shaking. And the angel holding him. Our Jesus showing himself. The angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and he came to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter in temptation. Hallelujah. The angel appeared to Jesus. This man was going to do something so unbelievable that I can't find a word to tell you how, but he was in agony over what he was about to do. And it wasn't the fear of the beating. Amen? Hallelujah. The Son of God. Who is that? Jesus. The Lamb that was slain. He knew that he was going to be that last blood sacrifice, that the world would never need another. Amen? He wouldn't need another dove. He wouldn't need another goat, another any animal. Jesus was that sacrifice. He was God. And he was going to take on every sin of man on that cross. Every sin. Every evil thought man has ever had. Every lie falling on him to be the sacrifice once for all. Now, this is as much my opinion as what I read in the Bible. But people said, well, what was the... He was God. He knew that what he was going to do. He knew when he came here what he was going to do. And to me, and to what I read, and my spirit tells me, the thing that he was in agony about was for that time that he took the sins of the cross. He was going to be separated from his Father. He'd never been separated from his Father. He was in the beginning. But he knew, in order to be the true sacrifice, it wasn't okay he died. No, he knew that in order to do it right and to do the sacrifice, Christ, he had to take those sins upon himself and die on that cross. And for that, however long it was, he was separated from his Father. That was the agony, that he knew his Father, that he loved his Father, and he loved him so much that he didn't want to be separated from him, not for 1 second, 2 seconds, 5 seconds. That agony of what that was when he went through. And he did it for who? Hallelujah. Almost too much to bear. He did it for us. He did it for anyone who would come to believe in his name. The God of the Bible, our God, ready to receive anyone who believes, who calls on his name. He waits. This is Palm Sunday. This is the week of the Passion. This is the week where Christians need to join together and rejoice because our victory is at hand. But remember what he did for us. Read these words and understand what he did for us, what he went through. So the next time you say, God, you don't understand, and you read that and understand, he understands completely. He fell on his face. The angel had to come and hold him because he was in agony. He understands each and every pain that we feel, each and every sorrow that we share, each and everything that tears us down. He understands because he knows the end. See, he knows your will, Lord, because his will is that we be with him in paradise and in heaven. Amen. He knows that. But never say to yourself, you don't understand, because he understands, because he did it. He faced it for us. And that's why we love him. Give him praise, church. This is Palm Sunday. And so perfectly with this, the song today that my bride's going to sing with Maestro is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it fill you today. Should stop praising me, the rocks are going to cry out. I don't want God to walk. I don't want him to come. I want him to walk and hear this church praising him all. I want your life to be full of praise. I want you to start talking and praising him in your car and letting him fill you with things, because he will lead you. He will answer your prayers. But in the meantime, giving him thanks and just praising him just moves you and moves everybody around you. But I don't want these walls to shout. I want us to be the ones shouting, amen. And I just love him, and hallelujah. And the other thing at the garden, when he imagined falling on your face, being in that much pain that he just fell on his face, amen. What he went through, he did it for us. Now we're going to do the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. They say the last of. This is in remembrance of what Jesus. Until he can come back, and when he comes back, it will be a celebration, amen. And as we do, you're going to play. Were you there? Hallelujah. Beautiful song. So let's do the Lord's Supper. Disciples looking at him, he picked up the bread, broke and blessed it, and said, "This is my body being torn for you." And they didn't understand, but we do. He said he's going to take his stripes, and each one will be for us to remove our iniquities and our sins. And he simply asks in this church we do this in remembrance of him. This for us, and he asked that we do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name we believe. John and Peter and James, all the disciples were with him, and they didn't understand when he poured the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. I'm going to be the lamb that was slain once for all." And simply ask that we do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. Everything you believe and everything you hope for and everything you dream about is wrapped around Jesus. In this life and in the next, as we journey further with the Lord, to be reunited with those that we love is a dream that we just hold so deep in our hearts. And that dream is placed there by the Lord and Savior Jesus. Our Father in heaven created it that way. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says to fear the Lord, and sometimes that word just doesn't sound right, but understand the love that Jesus had for his Father and the pain of just being separated from him. That fear brought him to his knees and brought him agony, where the angels had to hold him and minister to him. The fear of not being with God. The fear of somehow doing something and have God take his eyes off you for 1 second. For being separated. That fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. That reverence for him. That need for him. That desire that he be with you always. Hallelujah. That's the fear. Until we see him face to face, we must live by faith. Brothers and sisters, whatever's in your heart, whatever prayers you have right now, do not fear. Just take a breath and just let it out and just say, thank you, Lord. And enjoy this day you've been blessed with and the fellowship and the love and his word that you have. Do not fear that God didn't hear you. Let God do his beautiful work. Hallelujah. And trust. And the more he does, the more faith you'll have. But do not fear today. God is in control. He would not have gone through what he went through if it were not true. He would never had to do that if he didn't care. But he loved us enough to do it. And he wants Second Congregational to simply do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. We have a beautiful God. Give him praise, church. Next week will be Easter Sunday. As a Christians, we call it Resurrection Sunday. The end of the Passion when Jesus is raised up. And the promise for us, been raised up, that death has no sting any longer. Amen? We're going to have a lot more people here next week. We always do. Folks come on church on Christmas and Easter. So as they come, we need to just receive whoever comes and love them and make them feel at home in this house. We don't judge them for not going. We don't look at them for not. But when they come to this house, let's just show them Jesus. Amen. And pray for those we haven't seen. Hallelujah. That's right. We have some friends we haven't seen in a couple of weeks, and we know that things happen.